You're listening to The Broker Show with The Broker Joe, your expert in all things real estate. Hot topics, market trends, even your questions. It's all on the table. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch. Hey, it's The Broker Show. Welcome in. So glad you're here listening. Now would be a great opportunity if you've enjoyed what we've had to say in the past or would like to engage with us. I'm not sure that we will actively engage with you now, but we might bring you up in next week's episode, a question, a comment, whatever it may be. I would love to hear from you. So if you go over to Facebook and go to The Broker Joe, or to Twitter and go at The Broker Joe, or Instagram and follow at The Broker Joe, shoot me a message, shoot me a comment. Would love to hear from you. And let's get rolling. I am The Broker Joe, and I am here hanging out with Etch. We are recovering from what usually is the busiest shopping week the year.
It's nuts. It really is.
I mean, it is.
It's like a mad dash.
I love it, Etch. I've been Black Friday shopping for 15 years, and sometimes I don't even get much. Yeah. I just go out and watch the people. It's different this year.
You never know. It's different. How much like Old Spice cologne that you actually need until it's on sale until for $5.
A 30 pack is on sale. That's right.
It's kind of wild how that works. But Black Friday, like you walk through and there's, I always laugh when I go into these big box stores and you're walking down the aisle and it's like the big aisle. I mean, it's not like one of the aisles. It's like, oh, here's the specialty aisle of pet section or whatever. I need to buy something stupid for my dog. I'll be walking and there's just this random pallet that was just left here out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's calling my name. I'm like, I need those pajamas. I need Bart Simpson on them because I never knew that I needed them until just now because they're on sale.
They do put out some pretty catchy stuff. It catches your eye.
They do.
It gets your attention.
Right.
And I agree.
You see those signs that are up there that says, you know, do not unwrap until 11 o'clock on Black Friday. And then you're just sitting there like, oh, I wonder what's in the box.
Yeah.
What's in the box? What's in the box? You know, that kind of thing.
There is crowd control this year, though. Crowd control, you know, they're trying to keep the social distancing active only goes so far. At the end of the day, you know, and this stuff they make is, you know, Walmart, these large distributors, they make so many of these products just for Black Friday. They're not going to sell any other time. Yep. They make it a little cheaper, right? It's the Black Friday HP laptop. It's the Black Friday coffee cup or pajama or puzzle or whatever it is. And it's a little cheaper. Mm-hmm. And there's always a little regret, I think, when I go splurging, you get home and it's just not working out.
Why did I get this? I had no idea that I needed four more pairs of slippers.
I've got this armoire that I bought like 10 years ago, man. Yeah. It is still kicking.
Yeah.
We cannot break this thing. And those things break quick.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
the lid's up and down, shoes are in and out. It just won't break.
So. And this time of year always reminds me of this mad dash and the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas, you know, with Jim Carrey, how they're in Whoville and he's walking around with a mask on, and everybody's just going crazy shopping. And it's like, oh, here, this is, and they mark everything down, and everything's marked down.
Yeah.
And he sits there and he says, like, you guys need to just stop. Like, what are you guys buying all this stuff for? It's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
So it always reminds me of that. But this year, like we said, it's a little bit different. We're seeing things where we're buying things differently. We're not standing in line as
much. Amazon. You know? We've embraced even more on a larger scale than ever.
Yep. And, you know, small business is a very important thing. Yep. You know, we're all about small business, especially locally here. But I see a trend where people are shopping from their couches now.
Yep.
They have more downtime between Thanksgiving and Christmas now to sit and reflect, kind of think maybe they're going to spend less. We don't know yet until the numbers come out. However, there's a lot of time that is spent on the couch binge watching.
That's right.
And if you're talking real estate, you're talking like you want to have some new stuff in the house. You know, you may have gone to Lowe's, Home Depot.
I watch this stuff too. That's what's awful. I watch this stuff too.
And you bought stuff so that you could say, okay, well, hey, they had really good Black Friday deals on appliances. Or, you know, hey, now we can afford to get this flooring that we wanted to put in.
Yeah.
And when it comes to real estate, a lot of times that comes with flipping houses.
It does. It does. It. I think we got a graphic for you here.
Yeah, we do.
Yep. This is not the right way to flip a house, by the way.
No.
Yep. So, you know, as realtors, you look at it because you help so many house flippers and you see so many come and go. And I think we mentioned last week, you know, most of them are one and doneers, right? They do it one time. It's just too much, too overwhelming. But
you know what? I love watching cops, and sometimes I feel like officers are watching and feel the same thing. Like, what? What? No! No! Don't do that! No.
Don't forget the Miranda rights.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna unpack some of that. Flipping. I think in some way, everyone who is a homeowner,
yep,
they can't help it. Mm-hmm. They have a flipping mindset.
Yep.
10 years ago, this conversation wasn't alive. I mean, everyone wanted to invest and make money, but with the access to, and I'm gonna say HGTV, it's raised a lot of awareness.
Yeah.
Pinterest and Instagram and all these things, they're so centered around people love home improvement. They love it. They love the idea they could buy something, be crafty, right? I'm not crafty, so I'm really jealous of that talent for people to have vision, mm-hmm, right? Put colors together, be crafty, make something out of a pallet, make something out of the wood off the barn,
yep,
and turn it into something nice that someone else is going to assign value to,
yep,
right? Really, really, really fun. But there are some downfalls, and we are going to talk about that, Etch. We're going to talk about, there's really five things that I have seen in the people that have not been successful. And they come in, they're very excited. They have some money burning a hole in their pocket. They mm-hmm want to go in. They want to flip this house and make some money. Be like the TV stars, the TV shows.
Sure.
You know, in their own way, right? Mm-hmm. In their own neighborhoods, in their own environment. And so number one, not enough money. Number two, not enough time. Number three, not enough patience. Not enough skill. Not enough knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
All five of those got to be firing to be successful in the house flipping process. Now, if you're living in the home that you're going to flip or that you're improving, so someday it will bring a return on you, absolutely, then you can make some mistakes. You can even make some big mistakes, and you can smooth that out over time as the market increases and as you get a little smarter, a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it and you're borrowing money, right, from a family member or from the bank,
mm-hmm,
and you've got a timeline, it's taking away from your job, it's taking away from your day job, it's mm-hmm taking away from your time with your family, everything else, things get tense really quick.
Yeah.
Things get tense very quickly when you're trying to run the flipping show.
Yep.
Most people start with one, right? They start mm-hmm with one, and they maybe do okay, build confidence, and move forward. But it's not like you see on TV. Don't we have another graphic for these guys?
We do, because when it comes down to it, like my fiance and I, we're not flipping our house by any means. We're living in it. However, we're doing major improvements.
Yep.
And I will say that it has a lot of challenges. However, when you are watching HGTV, and like this graphic says, it doesn't even resemble how real estate is done in real life.
Yes.
Because I got to imagine, if you were to walk in my house right now, and you were like, okay, what are you doing? I'd be like, don't worry about it, man. Avert your eyes.
I got a vision. I know what I'm doing.
At the end of the day, I'm going to go ahead and see that crack over there. There's going to be so much mud mm-hmm in that bad boy, but you're not going to know that there was one crack in that wall.
Yep.
However, you see these things on HGTV, and there's just so much to it.
Yeah.
And they make it look just like it's a breeze. Like, oh, hey, all we're doing is just, you know, tossing it out there, and it's going to work out.
Here.
Yeah, you got some light problems, didn't you?
I do. They probably can't even see me now.
No, they can see you. You're good.
Okay, good.
They're all right. So basically, when it comes down to it, the way that I see it is it's a lot easier on TV than it is in real life.
It is. And that is like anything, though. Right. Mm-hmm. That is media. That's Hollywood. And that's us in social media today. Right. You kind of see the best side of us.
Yep.
Then you get to know us and you're like, man, that guy's kind of a jerk sometimes. Well, yeah, we're all human. We all got our bumps and bruises. And we tend to show up on media when it counts, when our hair is perfect, when the sun's shining and things are good. So it's just like that on TV. So you can't discredit those guys. Those guys do great work, and they're there for a reason, because they're very successful. But let's talk about these basics. So number one, I said not enough money. So I actually have a great friend. His name's Joe. He's a local flipper, and he lives by this saying: you make your money when you buy the home, right? It's a very interesting thought there. So in a huge way, I think he's dead on, because from the moment you purchase a home flip, from that moment forward, Etch, mm-hmm, it is a nonstop uphill climb of the unexpected. Surprises, twists, turns, expenses you couldn't see, under the ground, in the wall, in the roof, in the crawl space, wherever it may be, it's an uphill climb. So nailing it in the very beginning, and then always budgeting in for a major expense. When I flip homes, I like to budget in for, hey, there's going to be a well that goes bad, or a septic that goes bad, yep, or a attic that has mold, or something like that. I like, and the reason that I don't know these things ahead of time is because most of the properties flippers are buying are distressed properties. That means there's not a seller there that's so excited to spend money on inspections and turn the utilities on and get you in to sell you the home. It's not that way. The bank's not going to turn anything on for you. Many houses you buy are, you have to be very, very quick. You're patient, waiting for the moment that house comes on. Then all of a sudden, you got to jump all over it when the opportunity comes. You don't have time to sit there and think about it for a week. So you have to, because of that time challenge, you've got to plan for unplanned expense.
Yep.
So you got to nail it when you buy the house. That's the money side, right?
Yep.
So the next part is you need to choose houses that are not going to break you.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say break you, I mean break yourself in. Break yourself in gently, slowly. Buy something that is going to be, I don't want to call it, yeah, I'll call it a soft flip, right? Mm-hmm. A soft flip. So it needs, you're going to pay a little more. It needs paint. It needs flooring. It needs updates to light fixtures. It needs landscaping and mulch outside. It needs the trees trimmed. It needs a driveway put in. Things that you have a little more control visually over.
Right.
Right. And so you get, people tend to want to start with the cheapest, the worst house. Those are the houses that can break you if you're a first timer. Right. There's mold in the walls. There's rotting floor. All the electrical has to go. All of the All of the drywall's got to go. The ceiling height's got to go up. There's a survey dispute. There's a bad septic. There's so many things that are going on. There we go. We're back. And I would stay away from those and try to do something else, because what's going to happen if you are under that pressure of not buying in right, you're going to compromise. Yep. You're going to compromise your vision that you had for that home. You're going to compromise your budget. You're going to start chintzing, cheaping out. And that is a great way to get a very, very poor reputation as a house flipper. There's a lot of great house flippers. I would love to buy a Chip and Joanna Gaines house, right? Because it's done right.
Mm-hmm.
They dig in, right? They take a lot of pride in the fact that they do it right. They're digging in deep. They're making sure that they're catching all the issues. They're handing that buyer a great home.
Yep.
I don't mind that they made money on that. They deserve that money. They invested their time, experience, and resources into it. That's value to me.
Yep.
There's always going to be someone out there that values that. But if you are not doing that, if you're not doing it right, you're not making sure you address serious issues and not just covering it up. Now, caulking a crack is one thing, Etch, and I'll let you get away with that, right?
Yeah, right.
But if you're hiding a foundation issue or hiding a mold issue or hiding some other issue and going, the budget just can't handle it, right? Sometimes things are necessary. Sometimes you run out of money. You have to disclose it, hope someone can come along and take care of the issue.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you want to make sure you count the cost, so that way you're putting out a great product that people are happy to pay you for, because they can tell, they know you did a great job.
Yep.
Right? So a house could easily break you, right? It could make you really discouraged, bring you down, and you walk away like the vast majority of people do.
Right.
They walk away after that first one.
And you know, little known fact, because I did a couple of these shows for HGTV before.
Yeah.
I did some audio.
Oh, okay.
For,
oh, yeah,
there was one that was called Battle on the Block.
Okay.
Which basically they took people who were neighbors.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, so here's the deal. We're going to give you a stipend. We're going to give you like $25,000 as your budget, each one. And this was on the network. The network gave them the $25,000 to do it. And they said, okay, so here's the deal. What we're going to do is we're going to bring in an interior designer to help you guys out.
Perfect.
And we're going to send you into your neighbor's house, and you get to redesign the room that you want to have it redesigned.
I see.
So they went in and did like
very
these different
cool
ways. Yeah. And it was really, really cool to see. And then the winner ended up getting to have like an additional $50,000 wrapped up into another room that they wanted to have somebody professionally.
How is the winner determined? The best remodel, the best budgeting, the best.
Yeah, because the basically what happened was all of the people who are the interior designers got together afterwards and said, "Oh man."
Oh, right.
They left it up to the neighbors to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They left it up to the neighbors to come up with the concept. And it was funny because there was a couple that they had this house, and they were like, we want our bedroom redone. And they were very much clean cut, very professional, like you and your wife, Karen.
Yep.
Very, you know,
Yeah.
Professional. And then their neighbor was the biker type guy.
Yeah, sure.
Kid you not. First thing
biker
they did,
smoked it.
First thing they did, mirrors on the ceiling. I'm like, you got him. You got
right
him.
Right back to the 70s.
Just like that. Yeah. And that was the first thing. It was the guy's idea. Now, they didn't win and ended up being the couple whose bedroom had the mirrors in it after they were done.
Okay.
They designed another room for another house.
I see.
And they ended up winning.
Oh, wow.
Which was really cool. Yeah. I mean, they did an outstanding job. Sorry for the lighting, by the way. This is kind of makeshift right now. But
no,
we're working our way through it. A little technicals. But at the same time, they did a great job on it. And they ended up winning. So they got the additional $50,000. And the funny thing was, is when the host asked them and they were like, so what are you going to do with the $50,000? First thing they said was, remodel the bedroom.
Remodel the bedroom because someone else came in and did it.
They hated it because
they're
going like,
to undo it.
Everything looked like a biker
glass
bar.
Smashing
it
ceremony.
It was ridiculous, man. But I mean, it's all going back to saying, you know, for us, when we're not watching these shows, it's somebody else's money. If we haven't saved it, it's the banker's money. It's a family member's money.
It is.
You may, you know, be using, if you are in a relationship, one makes more than the other. And they said, well, I saved. Yeah. You didn't really get to because I made more.
Mm-hmm.
It's their money, you know, and you're playing with that. So there might be a little guilt attached to it. These shows that you're seeing on HGTV, these shows that you're seeing on any network television, generally speaking, the networks pay
is paying
the people
for them
to do it.
To do it.
So
that
these
is correct.
Flips of these houses and stuff where they're like, oh, yeah, well, that was a $300,000 flip of this house. Of course. Well, the network paid 150 of that to make it happen. And then they,
you know, tearing, there's this part of it, right? It's the first part. You walk in with all this energy. I am envisioning us in our first true flip.
Yeah.
Okay. I woke up at 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I woke Karen up. I said, babe, I just had this awesome idea.
It's the way it always starts.
The wall between the kitchen and the dining room must go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you it's not load bearing. Let's tear it out right now.
Was
right?
It load bearing?
So my energy apparently was infectious, and she jumped out of bed, and we grabbed sledgehammers, and we tore apart at 2 a.m. I am not joking.
Y'all are crazy.
2 a.m. We were so excited. Yeah. We're gonna tear this wall out. So we tore the wall down. Sledgehammers, dust, everything. Like woke the kids up. It was awesome. And then we were done. We were like, what do we just do?
Because
now you got to put it all back together, right? Yep. So. Having a plan, weighing and counting the cost of everything. Because at the end of the day, it is about making an income, right? You're doing it to learn. The first 1, 2, 3, maybe you're learning the curves. You're building relationships. We'll get into that. But you do want to make money. You have to think about ROI. But you have to have vision for it, right?
Sure.
You just go in launching grenades and putting a wrecking ball through the windows and the doors. Slow down. Count the cost, see what's good and can be restored. We'll take the extra work, your sweat that sweat equity, because what's going to go out the door first is you hiring someone else to do it, and that's what I want to get into. Point number three, you got to find the right contractors. There are going to be things in the house that you flip or in the house that you buy to improve, things that need to be done by licensed professionals.
Mm-hmm.
The wiring.
Yeah.
Maybe you're blessed. Maybe you're an electrician by trade. Maybe you're a handyman. Those are all great skills to have, but there's going to be some things. Most people, there's many things. There's plumbing, there's wiring, there's septic, there's well, there's many, there's HVAC. There's a lot of things that can become huge issues that have to be done by professionals.
Yep.
So
code is
having
a big thing.
A code.
Keep that in mind.
Yes, because you have to put on a disclosure when you're done. Did you do everything to code?
Yep.
Did you hire licensed professionals for everything that had to be done professionally?
Yep.
The bank that for the buyer may even request proof that there was permits pulled for X, Y, and Z, especially when you start shouting, total remodel, total gut job, built from the bones up.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who did the electrical? Well, I watched some YouTube videos. Ain't going to cut it, right?
Yeah.
Bank's not going to get you money, and the buyer's going to be disappointed, right? So you're going to have to get professionals involved. And that is difficult. One of the most valuable things that you could ever have, whether you're flipping a house or just remodeling your house to add value, is good professional relationships with people that are going to give you free advice.
Yep.
They're not going to be the attorney that says, you owe me $150 for the five-minute conversation we had. You want to have people that will advise you, tell you, no, that's going to be okay.
Yep.
No, that breaker box is not double-tapped. It was designed this way.
Yeah.
Right? No, this is something you need to target. No, here is where you can do the GFIs. Here's what I can do for you. those professional relationships are so valuable. I am probably the most thankful for the people in my life that are friends or family or just simply people that I've given them business and work. They've done a great job for me, maybe not at the prices they would charge someone else, right? But still right. Fair living for them. And it's all part of that churn in the economy. But I promise you, putting an ad on in Craigslist for someone that's going to come in and hack through it, that yeah. person doesn't have your best interest in mind.
No.
They just don't. That those relationships, you need to curate them and develop them. People that you trust, people that will really contribute and have the vision that you have.
Yep.
Knowing that more is coming in the future, mm-hmm. right? More business is coming in the future. That's how you build a name, that long-term site. So arm yourself with people like that. Find professionals like that that can give you good advice.
So what I'm getting is if you do a remodel on your own, just don't tell anybody that you remodeled it.
Well,
let it roll.
Yeah, there are things that you're definitely going to get away with, yeah. right?
Well, backsplashes, sure, stuff like that. Sure. Little things. Yeah, you put a little cover over the floor.
There's a thousand projects.
New carpet, yeah, stuff like yeah. that. But when it comes to like the bones,
yeah.
the really important stuff, the bones of the house, the electrical, like you said, the plumbing,
yeah.
those are the things that you're saying –
Get that licensed buddy to come over and mm-hmm. give you professional advice
yep.
and let him get his hands in on the really, really critical, crucial stuff,
sure.
right?
Yep.
Because and as you learn, as you grow, maybe this the really professional or really serious flipper will go get licensed, take the classes, yep. learn and study yourself, right? It's all a learning process. It can be really, really fun.
Yeah.
But having people to assist you is huge. Mm-hmm. And then one of my big pet peeves, there are a lot of programs right now all across the country that give us your money, will help you manage a flip from Michigan over here in Florida or Alabama. And yeah. and there are some great pools of money. The ROI is considerably lower. You're looking at, you know, 5 to 10% returns if you're in a good program, sometimes 12 to 15. But not being present is a surefire way to lose control. Mm-hmm. of the snowball of expenses. And again, the people that are there, you shouldn't expect them to have your vision, right? As a business owner, I always, you know, when I'm hiring, I'm saying if this employee I'm hiring cares about my business half as much as I do, that's a win. It's unreasonable for me to expect them to care as much as I do. It's my business, right? But when they yep. take ownership and they care, you know, that's a bonus, but you've got to be there. You've got to be present. Don't expect someone else to have it, to care for it, to bring it to life. You got to stay involved, right? People want to work a full-time job and then flip on the side. They kind of disappear, right? Yep. They have someone else there. It's not it's a losing formula. You've got to be able to be present, commit the time, and dedicate it. And then finally, the big one,
mm-hmm.
don't overprice it.
Yeah, right.
So when you put, and I see this over and over again as a listing, mm-hmm. right when I go to listings, people's own blood and sweat is in the carpet. It's in the wall.
Yep.
Right? They're pointing, going, that's where I put that screw through my finger right there. Right? And it's really personal. When yeah. when you're doing it yourself on your own house or doing a flip, you got your blood and sweat involved. You know what the appraiser sees or the buyer sees? They may appreciate some of what you've done. They appreciate the overall, the space maybe, or the design or the layout or whatever it is that you curated there. But they see nuts and bolts, Etch.
Yeah.
They don't see blood and sweat.
Yep.
So I see people get really personal, and then they get a little out of control, right? With the pricing.
Right. Right. Well, you probably see that a lot with like houses that like grandma and grandpa built,
sure.
you know, and it's a heritage house,
yes.
one that was ushered into the family.
Yes.
And now grandma and grandpa yeah. have since passed. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to say, well, that just came to me in the estate.
Yeah.
They gave me the house and I just don't want it. So I'm going to sell it. I'll bet it's worth yeah. a lot. Because my grandpa built it with his own two hands
Correct.
Back in the 1920s.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, now an appraiser comes in, they take a look mm-hmm. at it. They don't have the same amount
they
on there
that
you do.
They don't see all that stuff.
So they
no.
don't care that grandpa
no.
built that with his own two yeah. hands in the middle of the Great Depression.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. something to think about.
And there are some people that appreciate that it's a heritage house, right? Or
yeah.
a historical house or mm-hmm. something like that. There are those people, but they, at the end of the day, they have to justify their expense, mm-hmm. right? They have to justify it. It has to be something that merits value, right? And so remember, it's all about ROI. You've got to get it sold, okay? And so at the end of the day, if I sit on a house for a year, ROI is based on a year calendar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So return on investment, if I can flip two houses at 15% return in 1 year, that's 30. But if I take my time and it's a whole year flipping one house, for 20%, I'm holding out for that extra 5%. It's not worth it.
Right?
Get the price right. Make sure you're not too attached. Make sure you can turn that thing over when the time is right.
Good stuff. Love it.
There's so much more. So many stories.
Well, we got time. I mean, we got a whole podcast like series, so it's not we don't have to hit them all.
Absolutely, and we will. But again, reminder: if you like what I'm saying, or if you have questions, or you have your own flipping experience, I would love to hear from you. Go to our Facebook page, The Broker Joe on Facebook. Go to Instagram, follow us at The Broker Joe. Go to or tweet at one of us on Twitter at The Broker Joe.
Yeah,
we'd love to hear from you.
All great stuff.
Absolutely.
So, we will be back yet with another episode because we are doing this all throughout, even going up to Christmas. And who knows? Maybe we'll have a Christmas episode. We'll have some fun.
We will have some fun.
See what's going on. Maybe hey, you know what? You have a hidden talent. Do you not? You do. The Broker Joe is the musician Joe. So
now,
maybe
I've never sang on like this in this setting. I don't know. I'll probably get stage fright.
You got a guitar, right? Yeah. Or you got a piano. I've seen that you play both.
I could come in and I could sing.
That's what I'm saying. We could do a couple of carols.
I didn't say I would. I just said I could. You could. I mean, I could.
Give you a donut if you do it.
If you want to hear me sing, say something. Maybe someone will talk me into it.
Yeah, there we go. You know what? We could even do like a charity thing.
Maybe, pressure's on you. Pressure's off of me.
Maybe we raise enough money for a charity and you'll do it.
Okay.
That would be kind of cool. I don't know. We'll come up with something. We got a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
Either way, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Everyone stay safe.
Yep.
And get your Christmas shopping done early. Don't wait till the last minute. Yep. It's pointless for me to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway. Still going to do it.
Me too. It's going to be ridiculous. And then come like right after Christmas, I'm like, I don't know why I only have $5 in my account.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, what happened to it all? I even drained my savings account.
Yep.
Buying scratch-off lottery tickets for stocking stuffers. Either way, we thank you for tuning in. We appreciate everybody. And for Etch and...
I'm the Broker Joe. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you next time.